At first glance, the placement of the narrative of the Transfiguration passage we just heard may seem out of place to the casual observer. Compared to last week's narrative of the temptation of the Lord in the desert, 40 days and 40 nights, and all of its attendant themes that seem much more appropriate for Lent, the Transfiguration seems like it could be out of place. After all, there seems to be so much spectacle on that Mount Tabor in a season given to penance. And this penitential mode that we're in is even reflected in the decor of our sanctuaries all over the Catholic world. No flowers, no elaborate decor. Things are a little bit more staid and plain to engender this sense of penance and preparation for Holy Week. But from time immemorial, the Church has considered this mysterious event of the Transfiguration in direct relation to Lent, which culminates in Holy Week. So consider the following. First, the Transfiguration takes place on Mount Tabor. The crucifixion takes place on Mount Calvary. Second, today is exactly 33 days from Good Friday. 33 days, or 33, is an important number in Catholicism, traditionally regarded as the number ascribed to the number of years our Lord lived here on earth. And later on in the summer, in August, on August 6th, in fact, when we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration, that's usually about 40 days from September 14, which is the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross. So notice the trend. Tabor and Transfiguration are inextricably tied to Calvary and Good Friday. But still, we may ask, why? Let me present a couple of ideas to supply the answer. First, the fathers of the Church and many of the prayers of today's Mass that we'll continue to hear in this hour refer to the Transfiguration as the Lord's pledge of future glory to Peter, James, and John, and consequently the rest of the apostles. As we know, they would have their faith rocked by Good Friday, just weeks away, chronologically, in the order of events. The Transfiguration would have reminded them of the Lord's divinity, unsheathed for even just a moment, in spite of the devastating effects that they would experience on Good Friday. Perhaps after the resurrection, Peter, James, and John themselves would have seen a similarity between the transfigured Christ on Mount Tabor and the resurrected Christ, with the latter still bearing the marks of the Passion. But let's go a little bit deeper here, if we might. And here I'd like to borrow from the work of a friend and diocesan confrere, Father Paul Scalia, who helps us personalize the spectacle of the Transfiguration and relate it to our own lives. He reminds us that when we encounter the Lord on Mount Tabor, we really encounter ourselves, not as we are, but as we are to become. Transfiguration, in fact, is our path. This is particularly true of the upward call that St. Augustine invokes on this occasion. He says that we are called to a glorious life with God, and that the purpose of the entire Christian life, with all of its doctrines and sacraments and moral demands, is to be changed from one degree of glory to another, citing 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The words of the Father on Mount Tabor that should then apply to us: "This is my beloved Son." We should feel that filial attachment and connection. So, in a word, the whole Christian life is a project of self-realization through the lens of knowing ourselves as children of the Father, not a project of self-realization through our often fickle and uncertain and directionless attempts to, quote, know ourselves on our own terms. So therefore, we only really know our identity through the Father and in Christ. And of course, that places a standard and an obligation upon each of us. Notice how the narrative continues. The Father says, "Listen to him." Well, the surest path to experience that lens of being known by the Father and to listen to him is exactly the bookend of Mount Tabor and Transfiguration, Calvary and Good Friday. Yes, the cross. There is no way around it. None. And this is what ties Tabor to Calvary and eventually, beyond Calvary, the Garden Tomb. We are presented with the image of glory, Mount Tabor, which is the prelude to the path to Calvary on Good Friday, and then the surpassing glory of resurrected life post-Calvary on the third day when he rose again. Unfortunately, this is where most of us falter. The moment the cross arrives, we can be tempted to flee, not unlike the apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane. We are to lean, rather, into the crosses of our lives. Yes, lean into them, not run. And for many, when the cross appears on the horizon, we start looking for answers elsewhere, only to find out that there are none, or at least none that are sufficient, just Jesus. At Tabor, we notice Peter wants to stay on that glorious mountain. So even Peter, in this moment of spectacle, has to learn the path to the Passion. And we know that he eventually would. There's a pretty famous basilica in Rome built over his tomb, just meters away from where he was crucified years later. The Father's command, therefore, is both an exhortation to believe in the Lord and to actually imitate his life and death. This is why we can say that to encounter Christ is, in fact, to encounter ourselves, inasmuch as we allow ourselves to follow in his path through this valley of tears. To be sure, we live in a time of cheap grace. We want the glory of Easter Sunday without the suffering of Good Friday, which precisely makes Easter so glorious. So many today, we find, want to be, quote, spiritual, without the moral demands religion makes on its adherents. But this is not the way of the Lord Jesus, believe you me. And our spiritual depth can be measured by our willingness to become and remain students of his school, the church. So, as we progress through these days of Lent, might the mystery of the Transfiguration set our paths, our thoughts, and our hearts aright. May this pledge of future glory lead us to lean into the suffering we all must endure in this life so as to encounter Christ, who then allows us to encounter our true selves. And may he be praised both now and forever. Amen.